Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, that must be my cue. Morning out there, folks. A little bit of some studio updates here at CoachDaveLive.com. Don't know if you notice it. Guys in the pre-show said I'm taller. Got a new computer. My old laptop, which is about, I don't know, 5 years old, I think, which we got specifically to run the show, kept having glitches. You know, the sound would break up. The video sometimes would break up. And so Jared dug down deep and found me an old Dell here. He hadn't sent me the bill yet, but under probably $400, right around $400, probably get a new computer. Yesterday we jumped on here, got everything set up. I'm up higher than I was, looking into the same camera in the same studio. Everything's the same, but hopefully some of those glitches are going to be gone. I don't know about you. We've been over the target, haven't we? This show has been so over the target. And my only desire, my only wish, I mean, that's crazy. I got a lot of wishes. God, I wish I had a bunch of pastors watching. Wish I had them watching in secret and silence so they wouldn't have to admit that what we're bringing to them here is true. Wish we could. The whole thing yesterday, I'm still on the genealogy thing. I spoke to my good friend. Whoops, knocked something off here. Let me reach down and try to get it. I spoke to my good friend, Pastor Charles Jennings yesterday. He's going to be on with us soon. And if you guys, I'll try to find the video. If you want to see a video, you'll see the video that he talked about. Woo! How do I say it, Lord? Who the real Israelites are. It's unbelievable. So I'm going to have Pastor Charles on here. Next week or so, try to get it set up. And we're really, really into this. Folks, something really, really big about this seed of the serpent thing. The seed. Genetically modified organisms, which is what? Changing the seed. Genetically modifying, changing the seed. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if there's any farmers out there that can verify this, but did you know that Monsanto, whoever it is, the seed companies have it so set up that, see, it used to be that if you got an ear of corn, you could peel off one of the kernels and save it. In fact, my dad used to farm, we used to do a garden. That's what my dad would do. He would take some of the corn that we got this year and he would take the husk off of it, husk it. We'd take individual little pieces of corn and we'd set it aside and then Dad would have his corn for next year to plant. Would you know that it doesn't work anymore? Did you know that you can walk out in a field of corn and pull off an ear of corn and take every one of those little kernels off and put it in a bag and say, I'm going to use this next year to plant our field and it won't work? Did you know that the corn seed that they put into the ground does not reproduce? How many of you said, I didn't know that, Coach? I didn't know that. Yes, genetically modified. And so what happens every year? Well, every year the farmer has to go back to whoever, Monsanto, whoever provides the seeds. The farmer has to go back and buy new seeds every year. Instead of being able to take some from his year before and put it someplace, keep it safe, and then go out and plant all those seeds again. No. Not true. So if they're doing that to food, and I spoke yesterday. Listen, I'm chubby. I never say anything here to try to make anybody feel bad about their weight. Okay, please. I hope none of you ever took that wrong. I think some of the problems that we have in regards to our weight is it's beyond our control. We're eating. It's not good food, folks. It's not good food. They've modified it. They've genetically modified the food. And whether it takes more food to satisfy us, whether or not the nutrition in the food is not what it used to be, so therefore we tend to be hungrier, seem to be hungrier, or whether it's perpetuates the storing of fat, I don't know exactly what it is. I can't put a finger on it. But you would all admit to me, some of you watching the show right now, like me, I don't even eat that much. And next thing I know, I'm putting on weight. And it's 5 pounds this year, and then it's 5 pounds next year, and then it's 5 pounds. And it's, next thing you know, after 10 years, you put on 50 pounds. How the heck did that happen? So what's your lifestyle? You're lazy. You're slow. Well, there's some truth to that. But I believe that the body continues to eat until it gets nourished. We overeat. Genetically modified organisms. Friends, I think they're doing that to human beings. Genetically modified human beings. I believe that. And I got some emails yesterday from people, some head scratchers who said, God, I never thought of that. And to some who just want to go to the Bible and want to read the Bible literally and don't want to open up their mind and understand what's going on. They don't get it. The seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent. His seed, her seed. Now, friends, human beings don't plant seeds. But we do. DNA, spiritual seeds, things maybe we can't even understand. And I go back sometimes, and if I go back and I review one of these shows, there'll be sometimes I'm watching, like I watched yesterday's show again because I thought a lot of the stuff that we do here, it just comes straight from someplace else. I hadn't planned on doing it. It just comes from nowhere. And I was amazed yesterday. I was watching one of it, and I froze the TV, and I played it back because I looked at my mannerisms, and I said, oh, my God, that was my dad. I just saw my dad. Because why? His seed's in me. My dad's seed is in me. So is my mom. We get it, right? But if the devil, who from the very, very beginning has been trying to destroy the seed, that's been his object from the very, very beginning. If the devil sort of knew God's plan but didn't really know God's plan, but the devil knew that one of the real things we're going to have to fight against was that seed. There's something special about that seed. And maybe he didn't know what it was, because the scripture says, had they known what they were doing, they'd have never crucified Jesus. Had they known it, they didn't know. They understood something powerful was going on with the DNA, but they didn't know what it was. And the idea that Noah was perfect, I pondered that all day yesterday. Perfect in his generation. Well, as somebody pointed out yesterday, we know all have sinned, including Noah. So what does it mean he was perfect? Had to be talking about that seed, didn't it? Had to be talking about it. It took the flood because the seed had been so poisoned. Whether it had been poisoned by, I don't know, whether, listen, we could say that the seed was poisoned by interbreeding. We could say that. Mixed breeding. Said, well, that poisoned the seed. Well, we could say that. But I think it's something beyond that. Something that we won't even talk about in our churches. And the more we talk about it, the more I talk about it, the more people scratch their heads saying, wow, you know that? You'd be amazed some of the emails I got yesterday. And people said, wow, Coach, I never thought about that. And as Stephanie said, God bless Stephanie. She's always out there listening. Stephanie said, what if this new vaccination triggers something that's already inside of us? Something else that's already modified us. And as I shared yesterday, Todd said bone marrow, if he was going to have a bone marrow transplant for leukemia, the bone marrow transplant would begin to produce different DNA in his body. We know it's possible now, right? Is Trump in here today? I got a new camera, got to figure it out here. I'm trying to. Hey, Jared, we're going to figure out a way to make this. There it is. Okay, I got to figure my way down. Sure. Is Trump in here?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mark. So it is about the seed, right? This genetically modifying and this gene splicing and all this stuff that you in the computer world see going on is real, isn't it, Mark? You're mute, Mark.
Yeah, Coach, it's related back to genetic change, you know, and I was talking to somebody yesterday about designer babies.
Hmm.
And the ability to purify your egg by extracting your DNA and squirting it into another egg that has no cancer, for instance. And then you go out and buy a donor from a book who's got semen to inseminate it. Then you get it planted in your body to grow. And you could pick your baby that way. And it's just, it's what it's all coming to. And to be able to track it. To be able to put a computer in every person. And that computer's tied to your DNA as your login. That's your identity. So really, your DNA is going to be your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And people, when their DNA change, it's going to affect their bodies, and some will die. But the stronger survive. That's all they're worried about until it's down to 500 million, Coach.
So, folks, you hear what Mark said? Some of us... by the changing of our DNA, injecting something inside of us, it will kill some of us. Some people, some of our systems are a conflict in that system. It would be a deadly concoction that doesn't mix. They put it in there and it reacts to what's already within your body and your body can't fight it. But they think that by doing this, folks, this is, come on, church. Isn't this what Hitler did? Isn't this what Hitler tried to do? Isn't it? The perfect race, isn't it what Hitler tried to do? Go ahead, Rog.
Oh, I was so impressed with the program yesterday, but I'm having a terrible difficulty of trying to see where I could take a break of my 52-week series at the church on love. it's a long series that I have going on, 52 weeks, and I don't like breaking those things up. But I was so impressed with what you presented yesterday. I'm going to try to slide it in on one of those Sundays for 25 minutes. I think that should be enough time.
Maybe you could take it to your pastor and he'd show it for you, Raj, huh? maybe he would. The video yesterday. Folks, along that line, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit operates, isn't it? Hey, Mike Heath, pull up. It says WRFD email. It's a standalone email I sent to you, Mike. So I get this morning. Right, we have all this genetically modified stuff going on all around us. We have the seed of the serpent. We have the demons breaking loose out in our streets. You all know that, right? You all see what's going on. And as I said yesterday, and get people want to laugh about it, I think we have some people that are walking the streets that aren't even purely human anymore. I really believe that. We don't know what's been going on we don't have any idea what's been going on in the laboratories all around the world. Nefarious people, evil people, wicked people get in control of science, and who knows? Can you imagine an atheist with the ability to change genes? Can you imagine where that would go? Huh? So just, Roger, it's like you're looking over my shoulder, Roger, serving me a softball this morning. I got this from our local Salem radio station. Local Salem, WRFD, the word. And there's probably, I don't know how many Salem radio stations are. A lot of them aren't there, Mike. A lot of Salem radio stations everywhere, man. Huh? They are they and Bot Radio. And Rob's on GCN, I think. I can't remember the Christian. They're all, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. So they sent me out this email this morning, and I just thought, this would be good to show everybody. Here's the daily program highlights that if you are a Christian, you can pick up at WRFD. By the way, hang on. Go with Robert Jeffress right there at the top. He's going to tell you about, he's going to take you on a tour of Israel if you want to go. Yeah, you can go tour of Israel. Scroll on that chance to win one, actually. You can pathway to victory. And then we turn in and we can hear Dr. Jeremiah talk about Turning Point. What is my self-worth? Part two of it. Not talking anything about gene splicing or seed of the serpent. And who's on after Dr. Jeremiah? Who's on next, Mike? Can you scroll down, show us here? Oh, Vernon McGee, he's going to walk through the Bible with us. He's going to talk to us about Habakkuk. Okay, good. Well, we know. Okay. And then Chuck Swindoll. How long have we been getting these same programs at WRFD? Chuck Swindoll, Insight for Living. What to remember when you hit bottom.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
They all have real nice teeth.
Yes, sir. Focus on the family.
Joseph, it's because they're all talkers, not doers.
Well, but not only that, Joseph, it's like they're living in a different time. It's like they're living back in the 1960s.
Well, they have a nice, safe message.
They do. They do. Safe message. So we can turn to Jim Daly. Oh, my goodness. Jim Daly, Focus on the Scamily. Hey, Mike, how long has Focus on the Scamily been out there? And why? He's going to talk about the abortion peer pill reversal. Really? Oh, man, cutting edge stuff there. How long, Mike, have you been Focus on the Scamily? Yep. Oh, now listen. If you want to, you could. That's at 9:30 to 10, and then you can turn into Family Life Today. That's coming up. Family Life Today. Even though most families aren't even intact anymore, you can turn in and listen. You say, Coach, you're mean. No, I'm not mean. I'm showing you what's wrong. Well, they're talking about turning toward home. Ooh, that'd be a good one. And then Dr. Robert Jeffress, Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress. What's he going to talk to us about? Visions of Grandeur. Yeah. And then, boy, Greg Laurie, are you a world changer? Are you a world changer? I'll listen to that show afterwards. Boy, I know I am. And then I'll go sit on my couch and hide, put on my mask, face mask, and hide from everybody.
Hey Coach, didn't Jeffrey say that that gay marriage is now the law of the land? Leave it alone?
He might have said that. A lot of them have said that, right? Because if it's the law of the land, they don't have to fight anymore. Not that they are fighting. Is there one more page, Mike? I mean, this is good stuff. I'm lining up. I'm going to line up. Watch that. Oh, John MacArthur, Grace for You, Using Your Liberty, Part 2. The guy who told us for 40 years to obey the government. There it is. So this is what we're up against, Roger. This is what they're up against. Yeah.
You know, haven't I heard somewhere that if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same results?
Amen. That's what they tell us. And by the way, I used to be on this radio station. This is where I got my start. I had a Saturday morning radio program there. And anybody know what happened after? Now, that was before I was even awake. I'd just been sued by the American Civil Liberties Union. And so people kind of knew who I was. And so I was talking about getting in the fight. We need to get in the fight. It was pablum compared to where we are now. It was just pablum. And I would call out the churches to get involved and fight back. Anybody know what happened?
Two pastors said they'd get you fired from that radio station.
Yeah, the pastors had to get me fired. The pastors did, see. The pastors. Oh, man. Let me show you something else while I'm on this one. Mike, click on the... I finally found out why Franklin Graham won't do anything. It's the very first thing on the email, Rob. Mike, click on the very first thing on the email. It says Frank Graham. I found out. Makes perfect sense now. Well, Franklin Graham's going to go to Washington, D.C. and have a prayer gathering. Okay, that's good. But here's why he won't fight. Newsweek magazine, more than 10,000 Christians call for the removal of Franklin Graham as the charity CEO after prayer supporting Trump. So 10,000 God-hating Christians, folks, Christ-hating Christians. These aren't Christians. And then here's the good thing. See, if we were to go down and read this whole thing, you would go down and it would list what denominations, and Larry could tell us who those denominations are. So these godless denominations, these Christless denominations, all get together, organize. The left always organizes and works together, all right? They always do. So some word went out, and now 10,000 Christians have called to get, hey, he can't be Samaritan's Purse anymore. He can't do that anymore. So now we know why Franklin Graham doesn't fight. Instead of Franklin Graham standing up and giving them the, and going to war. Am I wrong, Mike? You've been in those circles. Am I wrong, Mike?
Me out of Maine after I stopped the sodomites from taking over the state three consecutive times in statewide voting. And they outspent us 10-1. It was the pastors who threw me under the bus.
Yep. Well, there we go. Say, Coach, there you go again, bashing the pastor.
Well, hey, so are you saying that Samaritan's Purse is the cash cow and the government supplements that? And that's so if he, Franklin Graham, so if he talks out, then he may lose that funding. Is that what you're saying?
Chad, they should have promoted you to detective. You're obviously a pretty good sleuth. Huh. Wouldn't you think so, huh? Wouldn't you think? Why? Listen, how old's Frank Graham? I think he's probably pretty close to my age. I'm 67 years old. You don't have to look. You can if you want to, Mike. I think we're pretty close to the same age. You know, if the Southern Poverty Law Center came knocking on my door tomorrow with handcuffs and drugged me out, I'm going down fighting, but I only got so many years left anyway. At what point does a guy running a large ministry stand up and saying, I'm sorry, I ain't complying, and I ain't going to do that, and I'm going to start speaking out hard and exposing those who are doing the unfruitful works of darkness? I'm going to start calling out some names. Anybody hearing what I'm saying out there? At what point did James Dobson, who got fired from Focus on the Family, he started Focus on the Family. He got a coup took place at Focus on the Family. James Dobson got fired as Focus on the Family. And then he went out and started his own organization. And his own new organization, I don't even know of it, is just as soft, if not softer, than the other one. It's psychology. It's Christian psychology. Wouldn't you think James Dobson, how old is he, Mike? He's probably over 70. Wouldn't you think James Dobson, and wouldn't you think he'd go down swinging? Wouldn't you think he'd expose some of these things that are going on? Wouldn't you think so? Why don't they? You guys
think I'm crazy?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
I was going to tell you that a lot of this is, you know, money oriented, and we don't want to offend anybody kind of mentality, so we can keep the money coming in. We can get out our nice little message and everybody's happy. And most people have forgotten how to be mad.
Hey, Joe, God bless. I was watching this video yesterday of Charles Jennings. Clay Parker sent it to me. Thanks, Clay, for sending it to me. It was a fabulous video. But 5 minutes into it, Charles Jennings mentions me. And the fact that I'm a fighter, yada, yada, yada. But then he said the most profound thing. And I looked over at my wife because she's kind of in the background as I'm watching this video. And Charles Jennings said, a lot of people don't like Coach Dave. And I thought, why? They don't even know me. They don't even know me. What do you mean a lot of people don't like me? He's right. Why don't they like me? Because I ain't going down like Frank Graham. I ain't gonna go down. I'm not gonna go whimpering like James Dobson. I'm not gonna go softly into that. I'm just not gonna do it. Just not gonna do it.
Hey, I don't know if you saw there's a pastor by the name of Jeremiah Johnson. He's often called the prophet to the American church, and he's been in a lot of churches.
Yes, sir.
He did a video on the Republican convention, and it just blew his mind about how the Republican National Convention was outdoing the church. They made the church look bad because they were saying things that the church doesn't ordinarily say.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the reason for it was that pastors are afraid that people are going to leave their church. That's why they don't talk about the controversial things that you talk about, Coach, every day on the show.
Right. If I was pastor of some of those churches, I'd hope some of those people left, to be honest with you. I'd hope they left. I'd try to run them off. I'd try to run them off. That's why I don't pastor a church. I'm sorry. I don't know how this became about me. I didn't mean to make this about me. But I think it's important that we understand what the battle that we're fighting against, folks. And the battle we're fighting against is we're fighting this battle against those who are supposed to be on our own team. That's the problem. You never hear the left criticize the left, ever. You'll never hear the Southern Poverty Law Center talk about the American Civil Liberties Union. You'll never hear them. They'll never criticize. You'll never hear the homosexuals criticize the pro-aborts. You'll never hear it. They do not fight amongst themselves. We do. We can't wait to. We want to prove how much more righteous we are than the other guy. If that other guy was just as saved as I am, and if he just had the proper theology, then maybe he and I would be able to work together. But until he rejects that theology, that heresy he's carrying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be. They went to Jesus and said, they're over there casting out devils, and they're not even part of our denomination. And Jesus said, leave them alone, man. Those that aren't against us, they're for us. Why wouldn't he so adamant about it? Why are we? I don't know. Somebody rescue me here.
Hey, Coach. I just put a link in the chat, and I think most people probably ought to have seen this video. It's less than 2 minutes, but I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. That video's in there. Mike, you want to play that?
That's a great network clip.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What's interesting is just what you explained about Jesus and disciples. Is the leftist following that more than the church is?
They do.
When you look at it. Because the left, they're all doing the same thing, and then they're just working together.
That's right. That's exactly what's going on. Mike, are you able to pull that up there for Larry? I think it's if it's a clip, I know it is. And I mean, yeah.
There we go.
How long ago was this made, I wonder? Probably before that. Go ahead.
Things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressmen because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Amen, Larry. That's the way I feel, man. That's the way. I'm going to shift gears here. Anybody got anything you want to throw out there? Listen, I forgot to. We're going tomorrow. I still don't know what's going on tomorrow because we're leaving early in the morning for Missouri who is that guy? Jamie Walden's event. I got a carload of guys that are gone. We'll be here tomorrow, but maybe we'll be done from a car. Come on in, Raj. I hear you trying to get in here. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, White. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Roger.
No, this is Jeff.
I said I did get a chance to look at my 52-week series on the love of God, and I decided that week 36, that Wednesday night, I think I'm going to dedicate that Wednesday night, that week, to this topic. Thank you so much.
Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, my older brother, Greg, is running for city council here in California, and I've been calling him gullible and these statements, and he wrote me back and accused me of being a QAnon supporter. Mm. I wrote him back and says, no, I offer the oracles of God, and I'm quoting Matthew 24, that lawlessness shall abound, and people's hearts will wax cold.
Yes, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. That's the truth. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. Okay, I got it.
Hey, Mike, Coach.
Hey, yeah, hang on while you're doing that. Mike, pull up the trees in the email. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. You know, over half the people on this queue hadn't signed up to help stop vaccinations yet. I can't figure that out. I'm mad. I thought these were my brothers and sisters.
Well, they are. They are. But like everything else, got a lot going on. Got a lot going on. Folks, I pulled this up. I don't know where I got it. But I want to ask you this. You guys remember we did a show a few weeks ago about petitioning the government for a redress of our grievance? I came across something. Hey, John Diamond. John, what's that? What's that statute, John? That you? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know off the top of my. You know what I'm talking about, John?
Yeah, I do. U.S. Code 242, I believe it is.
Try to find that for me, John. Okay. I'm putting some pressure on you. Folks, listen, I just this was sent to me yesterday, folks. Who do we turn to? This is U.S. 2381. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason, shall suffer death, or shall be in prison not less than 5 years, and fined under this title but not less than $10,000, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. Now I don't know. Does that apply to Nancy Pelosi? Is Nancy Pelosi giving aid and comfort to the enemies? Anybody think maybe she is or not? Does that apply to anybody who's financially supporting Antifa and Black Lives Matter, whose sole intent is to overthrow the American government? Folks, that's treason. Why is nobody doing anything about it? And then 2382 is what they call misprison of treason. And it says, whoever owing allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of the commission of any treason against him. In other words, not only you're not doing it, but you know it's going on and you have knowledge of it and you conceal and does not, as soon as may be disclosed, make known the same to the president or some judge of the United States or to the governor, or to some judge or justice of any particular state, is guilty of misprison of treason and shall be fined under this title in prison, not more than 7 years or both. So if we know what's going on, remember when we went to Hillary Clinton's place? Remember that? We wrote those letters and we told them all and nobody did anything about it. Then 2383 says, rebellion or insurrection. Whoever incites, sets on foot, assists, or engages in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States or the laws thereof, or gives aid and comfort thereunto, shall be fined under this title or in prison not more than 10 years or both, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. Folks, this is happening right now, right in front of us, and ain't nobody doing a damn thing about it.
Well, Coach, the thing is,
I'm not done, but go ahead, Gary.
Well, I was going to say, all these laws in that are good, understand, but the question always is, who's going to prosecute them? Who's going to take... That's just it. They can write them, but they don't apply to them.
That's right.
No one's going to prosecute them.
Not worth the paper it's written on, is it, Gary? Not worth it. Somebody else will try to come in.
Hey, Coach, John Diamond here.
Hey, John.
Hey, those two things that, and I preached on this there at your Occupy conference.
I know you did.
Title 18. I sent these over to the links over to Mike if he wanted to pull them up. Title 18, Section 241 and 241 and 242 both deal with the federal crimes of people suppressing our God-given rights. 241 is if you suppress my rights. 242 is if the governor does.
Okay,
so everything,
John,
that these governors are doing is an absolute, not only a violation of our constitutional rights, it's actually a violation of federal law.
Okay, John, so just sit right there. I'm going to finish this, and then I'm going to have Mike bring it up. I'm going to let you walk through us, okay? Okay, how about seditious conspiracy? Seditious conspiracy. If two or more persons in any state or territory or in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or to destroy by force the government of the United States, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law. Whoops, I lost it, Mike. Of any law, I'm sorry, I'm looking around my camera, of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the United States, contrary to the authority thereof, it shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years, or both. Folks, this is already on. In fact, this one was reaffirmed on September 13, 1994. This isn't that old a law. Scroll on down again, Mike. Hey, listen. Hey, folks, are Christians supposed to be law keepers? How about 2385? Advocating the overthrow of government. Whoever, that'd be anybody, knowingly or willingly advocates, abets, advises, or teaches the duty, necessity, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying the government of the United States or the government of any state, territory, district, or possession thereof, or the government of any political subdivision therein, by force or violence, or by the assassination of any such officer of any such government, or whoever with intent to cause the overthrow or destruction of any such government, prints, publishes, Mike, can you move it up a little bit for me, edits, issues, circulates, sells, distributes, or publicly, thank you, man, or publicly displays any written or printed material advocating, advising, or teaching the duty, necessity, desirability, or propriety, or overthrowing of destroying of any government of the United States by force or violence or attempts to do so, or whoever organizes or helps or attempts to organize any society, group, or assembly of persons who teach, advocate, or encourage the overthrow of destruction of any such government by force or violence, or becomes or is a member of affiliates like BLM with any such society, group, or assembly of persons, knowing the purposes thereof, anybody who does any of those things shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years, or both, and shall be ineligible for employment by the United States or any department or agency thereof the next 5 years. And if two or more people decide they're going to try to get together and do this, commit an offense named in this section, each shall be fined under this title in prison not more than 20 years or both, and shall be ineligible for employment for the United States or any government or agency thereof for the next 5 years. Kamala Harris encouraged people to send money to bail out BLM. And used in this section, the terms organize and organize with respect to any society, group, or assembly of persons include the recruiting of new members, George Soros, the forming of new units, and the regrouping of expansion of existing clubs, classes, and other units of such society, group, or assembly of persons. Is that it, Mike? Yeah, I think that's it. Hey, there ought to be a law against it. Isn't that what they say? Well, there is. There is. We're lawless. Go ahead, John, jump in here. If we can pull, Mike, can you pull up what John just sent you? Can you throw that up on the screen? Because John gave me this when we were at our last conference in Akron, last time we were up there. This blew me away. These are weapons that we have, Larry. Larry, we got to figure out what to do about it. Go ahead, John, talk to us about this and what it says.
All right, slide down a little bit there, Mike, down right under where it says title in bold right there. Now, there are two statutes, federal statutes, that keep somebody depriving you of your constitutional rights. One keeps an individual citizen from doing it. The second keeps a government official for doing it. So 241 is citizen against citizen, and it said two or more people conspire.
John, time out, because people right. say, Coach, you always interrupt. Here's what John said to me. Everybody at London in London, Ohio, who conspired to deprive me of my right to pray. Right, John? Every one of them
are
guilty of this. Go ahead.
It says two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district. And the free exercise, that's what First Amendment says, free exercise of religion, free exercise or enjoyment. Where we go? Of any right or privilege secured by the Constitution or laws of the United States or becoming having exercised the same. And then he goes on to talk about.
Time out, John. If they are trying to block the free exercise of my whatever, that's what we're talking about here. Anybody, any group, S Southern Poverty Law Center, huh? BLM, huh? Yeah, any, yeah, that's right. Keep going, John.
It says they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. So, I mean, there's already the statute in place that keeps one civilian or citizen from doing that to another. Now, the important one, I think, is the next one over. Go to 242, Mike. It's just the very next one over. And this one deals with government officials. Government officials doing the exact same thing. There it is. Scroll down there. Now, this one, it says under the color of law, this is talking about judges. This is talking about congressmen, governors, politicians, whoever under the color of law. In other words, hey, we're just doing this under law, statute, ordinance, regulation, custom. That's everything these governors have done in this country for about the last 6 months. Willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any right, privilege, or immunity secured by protected by the Constitution or the laws of the United States shall be fined under this or imprisoned no more than 1 year or both. So when you look at our rights, we have the right to work. God says work 6 days, take a day off. These governors who had said shut down and don't work, they're violating your God-given rights. When they said you can't freedom assemble, when they said you can't pray or sing and work church services, these are all federal offenses. Not only do they have no state or constitutional authority to do any of this stuff, they are actually violations of that. And Attorney General crime. Barr got on.
It's a crime, it's, John.
Yeah, it's a crime. Yeah, Attorney General Barr got on earlier in the scamdemic. And he said constitutional rights are not suspended under a pandemic. So what we need to do and scroll up just a little bit, because this is what I wanted to talk to you about when I come out there today as far as a strategy, because I think we can get a little more traction now that all these Christians are finally getting their scroll down just a little bit down the other way. Right where you see that seal, Department of Justice Action Center. There it is. There it is. It says report a violation. We need to get. I'm creating a video. Basically, I'm redoing the speech that I gave at your Occupy conference. I was just doing it on religious freedom. This was long before the pandemic, but this applies very, very specifically to what's happening right now. So I'm doing a video right now, basically a teaching video on the Declaration of Independence, where our rights come from, what the job of government is to secure those rights. And whenever they don't secure those rights, it's our job to remove them and put other people in. Larry, so, and then Larry, when you go and you take these codes right here.
Larry, maybe you ought to guide your group to report a violation. Maybe every one of the people that you're assembling, we ought to send them this link and have them report a violation.
Absolutely. One, that would be after they determine it, that it's mandatory. We can't report an intended violation. We've got to fight an intended violation proactively.
I got you, man. Good point.
But this says if anyone conspires, conspire simply means to make a secret plan to jointly commit an unlawful act. So even the act of conspiracy, them conspiring to do it, is what they're doing right now. So, I mean, this is a conspiracy. They are conspiring against our rights right now. And, I mean, so this applies to what Larry's doing as much as to what I'm doing with the Appeal to Heaven movement. All of this stuff applies. And I mean, when we bring the law in, that's what my Appeal to Heaven thing is. First, we appeal to the higher authority, which would be Attorney General Barr and Trump. And we need to turn the pressure up on those two as a group. And with Mark Trump, and I talked to him about this, we need to turn the pressure up on them in the next whatever 60 days before the election and really kind of raise Cain on this issue, just to make him come out and make a statement that, yeah, these people's rights are being violated, especially with it being an election year. But we have everything in our favor. We've got federal law, constitutional law, history, the Bible, God. We have everything in our favor except the courage to do it. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about in our strategy session.
Including the courts, right? So here's what happens. We have all these laws. So imagine you go to a basketball game. and you're at the basketball game and you have a good team and you're there rooting for your team, and you notice that the other team keeps double dribbling. And you go over to the referee, and the referee says, sir, he can't do that. He can't double dribble. And the referee says, well, we're not calling that right now during this game. We're not. That's not one of the rules. So you go back and sit back on the – they call double dribbling on you. Your team double dribbles, but the other team doesn't get it called on them. So you go sit back on the bench and say, man, some hometown referees here. This is some hometown refereeing. And then we find out that the other team, all of a sudden, they're allowed to hack you when you shoot. You go to the referee and say, hey, bud, they keep fouling our guys. And he says, well, those aren't fouls here in this gym. It's different rules here in this gym. And then your guys start hacking. He says, oh, no, you're not allowed to come in here from your town and foul. The only one allowed to foul here is our team. That's what we're dealing with, isn't it, John? There's no redress of grievances. So we have these federal laws with federal violations, and then we go to federal officers to enforce federal law, and they won't do it.
Right, but we do have one less redress of grievance, and that's what the appeal to heaven thing is about. So when the founding fathers' rights were violated and they took it as high as they could go, they finally said, all right, well, the highest government officials in this nation will not enforce their own laws because they're the ones violated it. Now we're appealing to heaven, and God promises that he will intervene in that. So we have to follow the chain of command. We got to do our grievances all the way up, do our due diligence, go to Barr, go to Trump, go on. But when they refuse to do it, we still have one more court to go to. It same happened during slavery. What we're dealing with today is abortion, gay marriage. They were dealing with slavery, and everybody in the United States government was endorsing slavery. It wasn't the South. It was the federal government, the Fugitive Slave Act. You know, that was passed by the federal government. Congress passed it. The president signed it. The Dred Scott case enforced it. But they understood there was one more court that they could go to. And this is very, very real. This is not just some illustration. You know, we can take this before Almighty God, and he will come down. That's what the parable of the persistent widow is. God will come down and avenge us if we appeal to the highest court. And I think you either have groups that all they want to do is pray and they don't want to go out and do what we're doing as far as action, or you got groups that just want to do action but don't want to pray. You really have to combine these two strategies. And it has worked. It worked for Moses. It worked for the abolitionists, the founding fathers, Martin Luther King. This thing has worked throughout history. If we combine both of these efforts, the legal appeal to the Supreme Court of Heaven and the civil disobedience to tell these governors, we don't care what you say. We're not taking a vaccination. We're having worship services. We're singing. We're praying. Now you do whatever you feel you need to do, but we're taking this above your head. And when you understand Romans,
but John, listen, John, this is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Just preach the gospel, John. Just preach the gospel and get people saved. John, we're not supposed to get involved with politics, John. We're not going to mix, John, we're not going to mix the sacred with the secular here, John. Just preach the gospel, you fanatic.
Hey, John.
Yep, that'll be Monday's message when I'm on with you.
John,
ahead,
I want to thank brother. I want to thank you for signing up with the effort to stop the vaccinations. Thanks a lot. And also, I want to say this, man, you are preaching to a whole bunch of choir. The very first words on the Friends of Liberty United website are, please understand, government was created to secure our God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Therefore, any government act that has diminished or destroyed anyone's ability to enjoy a right is an unlawful act. And then it goes on saying exactly what you're saying. And boy, what a marriage there is between your group and Friends of Liberty United working and helping each other. Wow.
Amen.
I agree, Larry. And you need to put a link in there to this Title 18 code, because when you say it's an unlawful act, a lot of people act like that's just your opinion, but when you put a link in right to the Department of Justice and you show them that this is a federal law, this just adds more credibility to your case. It adds more credibility to Coach Dave's case. I mean, anybody in America, no matter what individual cause you're fighting for, if it's a violation of your God-given rights, not only does the appeal to heaven thing work, but all of these work too. And that's what we need to educate the American people on.
John Diamond ought to be speaking in every church in America. You guys listening to me? Jeff Klein, when's he gonna come up here and speak at your church? All of you guys down through there, when's John Diamond coming to your church and informing your congregation of this stuff here?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Two things. One, I've already approached Pastor Bill about bringing John in. I talked to him a couple of days ago, and we'll do that. Two, that we're stirring it up here in town on the public square. John is exactly right what he just said. Mix it all. I like what he said, the prayer, the mission, everything. So now we're doing this. I have got him fired up here in the town. I text you the letter from the law director he sent me. The secretary for the mayor just called me Tuesday morning. I've got, now they're going to send, I went to go get a permit, and I even titled it the appeal to heaven. And I put in there, we're going to be doing some scripture reading, some truth, some praying. Even the ice cream truck, I just mixed everything on it. Buddy, they called me instantly. Now they're telling me I can't be up there at a certain time. Can you please change your time now? Instead of 12:30 or 1:30, can you do 1:45? I said, why do you want me to do 1:45? Well, we got the farmer's market till noon. Then we got another group. I said, oh, that other group, which is the Democrats, they've been there for 3.5 years, and they're going to be there for another 6 months?
And they probably don't have a permit.
Oh, they do. They've got it. So I asked the secretary, I said, now listen, I got a question. And maybe I need to direct this to the law director. But let me ask you a question. Is the public square permit that I filed for, is that for the circle, which is they call a square, and the parking spaces? She said, yes. I said, okay. Then the outer ring of parking spaces is open. She said, well, that's private. I said, private? It's for the banks. It's where the public parks. She goes, well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, in other words, they don't want you out there, and they're going to do everything they can to keep you from getting out there, which is a violation of what John just read to us.
Yep. And so we're going 12:30 to 1:30, same time. They don't want us up at the same time the Democrats are. So we're going.
Unbelievable. Come on, Coach, somebody. Yes.
Coach, is there any way you can make a packet up of this stuff, you or Roger, somebody, where a guy like me can print it off, take it around to some attorneys I know, take it around a state senator I know, where we can start trying to get the ball rolling. If all of us would do that in our community, this thing might get some traction, Coach.
Well, you know, John, yes, I'm with you. John and I will talk more about that today. I'm sure John has some PDFs and stuff like that. Again, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't get it, man. Hey, by the way, Jesus is coming. Coach, we're not called to be involved in politics. Yeah, Coach, we're just passing through. We're not of this world. Coach, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. By the way, folks, when Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, that didn't mean his kingdom isn't at work in this world, or that his kingship isn't applied in this world. He's saying, my kingdom is from a different place. Not that it's not here, but it's from a different. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom came from someplace else. And my kingdom that came from someplace else is in charge here as well.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Yep. Well, here's another tactic I got, because I used to get hit with this one in my last church. We just want to know Christ and make him known. That's our job.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't know him. They don't know, certainly do. They don't know him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't know him. Revelation 19, Mike. Revelation 19, let me check my own Bible. Let me check my own Bible here. I think it's Revelation 19. Nope, 20. Revelation 20, verse 11. Begin right there. Go to 11, Mike. By the way, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Hey, John, or I'm sorry, Gary, this is the Jesus they want to make known, right? This is the one they talk about constantly in that church, right? And I saw the dead and great. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And everyone was judged according to their works. And death and hell, I'll get you in the wrong spot, Mike. It's 19. I swear it's. Let's see, my page fell out. My page fell out of my Bible here. It's Revelation 19:11. I'm sorry. 19:11, Mike. Hey, Gary, this is knowing Jesus and making him known. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And the Jesus that was made known to you is going to righteous judge, and he's going to make some war. And by the way, this Jesus that we're going to make known to you has eyes that are as a flame of fire. And on his head, hey, folks, this is Jesus right now. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, all right? His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He's not a babe lying in a manger anymore. Sorry. Sorry. He's not a defeated Christ laying in the grave. He had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. What? Army? I thought it says the bride, the sweet church. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That with it, this Jesus that we're going to make known to you, he's going to smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That wouldn't feel very good, would it, boys and girls? He treadeth the winepress. Hey, underline that, Mike. Of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. There he is, Gary. There's making him known. There's Jesus making Jesus known. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name tattooed. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, folks. Jesus is ruling and reigning right now. He's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He's not a broken savior laying in a tomb. He's not still hanging on that crucifix. He ain't on there anymore, man. He ascended into his Father, where he sits at the right hand of power. All power, all authority has been given unto him, both in heaven and earth. And unfortunately, the Jesus that we're making known to the world is not anything like the real one.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Mike, can you scroll back up to verse 11, please? And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Boys, he pissed.
Hey, Joe, pardon me here. Folks, who's he making war against?
Exactly. Mainly people who don't know him.
People don't know him. Kind of hard to be cheerful, isn't it? But folks, this is the truth. This is the gospel. This is it, man. This is right out of that book. And I'm sorry if you're going to some church. Hey, Mike, go back to WRFD email. I'm sorry if you're going to some church and you're hearing this stuff all the time, using your liberty toward home. Come on, man. What? Wait, what's that? Inside Habakkuk 2, What's My Self Worth, Part 2, David Jeremiah. Come on. I'm going to ask this. I wonder if he's ever been in jail, David Jeremiah. Maybe he has. I wonder if John Daly's ever been in jail. He wants to give us the answer to the abortion pill. I wonder if he'll give us the answer to abortion.
I wonder if the Apostle Paul, I wonder if John the Baptist would have done a radio program on the abortion pill.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just let you know, the last two Saturdays, we've got it stirred up in Mount Vernon. Pastor Bill's coming this Saturday for the third Saturday. I got 9 more Saturdays to go. And if you want to pop in some Saturday, you're free. Come on up. And John Diamond, we'd love to have you come down to Mount Vernon. If you want to come, you're welcome too.
Well, invite him. Invite him down on Saturday and let him speak on Sunday.
There you go.
That's the only way people are going to hear the truth. It's 8 o'clock. Yeah. I got to run. We'll be here tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be in the studio. I don't know if it's going to be by phone. We're heading to Branson, Missouri to be out there with Jimmy Walden and a great group of folks. And we're going to raise up some soldiers, some warriors. God bless you, man. Thanks for being with us. Thanks, John. Thanks for piping in here today.